You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. And on this Friday morning, the 26th day of June, just a reminder, speaking of that, there are just, 5 days left in WILL's fiscal year. And we still have about $150,000 left to go to put in our kitty. If you'd like to help make a donation, you can do that at willpledge.org or call 217-244-9455, 217-244-9455. It's not too late to join our Stronger Together campaign. We sure do appreciate that. In Chicago at this hour, futures are higher, and it's raining here in Urbana-Champaign. July corn up 8 cents at 384.5. December at 401.25, up 9 for the dame. July of next year at 423.75. That's up 8 cents. July beans 14.5 higher at 1015. The August at 1002 up 15. And November at 992.5 on its last tick, up 14.75. January 988. And 998.25. That's up 15 cents in July at 991.25, 9.25 higher in the beans. Bean meal up $8. Bean oil 12 cents lower. Soft red winter wheat up 25 cents at $5.57. Hard red in the July 19.25 higher at $5.54.5. Live cattle futures $1.22.5 higher at $149.72.5. Feeder cattle at $218.30, 75 cents lower. And lean hogs at $74.97.5, 32.5 cents higher. On the phone line is Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Michael, first, thanks for joining me on Commodity Week when we recorded yesterday afternoon. It's up on the website at willag.org. It was a great conversation.
Yeah, I thought it was a very nice conversation, well-rounded conversation about the market, finding out about exactly what was going on in the Central Corn Belt. And I think, Todd, to boil it down from a standpoint of the investors and the market as a whole, that 1997 El Nino is starting to shape up pretty nicely. And what I mean by that is you've got Champaign, Illinois, looking at about 3.7 inches of rain, highs in the upper 70s on the latest American GFS model for the next 5 to 6 days. And in 97, with the cooler, wetter conditions, we saw U.S. corn yield of about 126.7, below the 94 through 98 average of about 128 bushels. And so I think the market is reconciling itself. Shorts are covering in the investment community as a result of the idea that El Nino in the United States doesn't necessarily mean really great bin-busting crops. And it's just been, you know, launched obviously from Monday's crop conditions report, but it's just been in the last couple of days the trade has finally woken up to that. And I thought the Commodity Week panel, and you included in that, did a really good job of rounding that off and figuring out where exactly Chicago is going into that acreage and stocks report on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. Normally, I don't insert myself very much, but I have been following really closely along with the Farm Doc team all of the wet areas, and I hope we were out in front. I honestly kind of think we may have been on these wet areas and what impact they've been having once you put them all together across the whole of the United States. It was a really good conversation. I think we laid out pretty much where all of those trouble spots were, and more importantly, where the garden spots were, too. So, yeah, you have to get an understanding of that. I have a question about the trade this morning, because it appears to me, at least by the numbers, that wheat is the leader in the market today. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. And I think the big issue with wheat, and it makes it more 2010-like in terms of its price action and its fundamentals, is that not only have we seen a major drop in the European Union EU wheat expectations by Mars earlier in the week, but now we've gotten news out of France, which is number one or number two in Europe almost consistently as far as wheat production, having so much dry weather and so much drought that we're looking at substantial cuts in their production. And so it is a real blessing to the U.S. wheat farmer that if he's going to have delayed harvest and poor quality, and I don't wish this upon anyone else, but it's nice that it's not a localized problem, that it's starting to become more of a global problem. And with the EU having record wheat exports for 2 years in a row, them, one of their major countries that produce it, having problems, should help us a lot in the wheat market. In other words, this may be one of those wheat rallies, and I think it is. It's not a flash in the pan that we have found a hard low, and we have very little likelihood of going back down to those levels that we just came off of, because crops are starting to suffer in other parts of the world, and especially competing countries.
Yeah, so I guess it's kind of important, and maybe we can talk about this in respect to soybeans as it's changed to a global crop in the last decade, that in the United States, wheat plays a big role domestically, but not on the global stage. In the northern hemisphere is by far the larger of the two hemispheres for total production of wheat. That production comes in places mostly outside of the U.S., though.
Yeah, I mean, the United States and Canada can still make a big splash in the pond if they have weather problems like we are having right now and like Canada has had as well. But because most of the European, most of the purchasing going on in the world is Middle Eastern and Near Eastern, Europe is situated so nicely, the Black Sea is situated so nicely, they're really the hub. And, you know, if you talk to a wheat purchaser or a commercial person that's in the global wheat market, that's the first thing they'll look at is what's the price of Black Sea against anybody else, because their quality is very good. They keep their and store their grain very, very well, unlike some other countries that can produce wheat, but they can't really export it because it's not worth the quality that you need it to be.
Yeah, so it's understanding the global flow of the commodities and how that incorporates back into the U.S., an opportunity, therefore, for wheat producers in the United States, but they do have to pay a great attention to their local domestic basis, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, this is where the quality issues and the moisture levels and the test weights are going to mean a lot, unfortunately, this year. But at least, you know, China's having the exact same problem. There's talk that China's going to maybe have to import 10 million tons of wheat here, of high-quality wheat here. Now, does that make more feed wheat available to the corn market? That could very possibly be the case. And, you know, this is where it would really be nice to have the investment demand, have the emerging markets back on our side. And I would really like, you know, a lot of clients have called in. It's been a very, very busy week, very busy day to day. And the simple question is this the low? And I think the low, I can't say that that's exactly what we're dealing with here. It could be, but it would make me feel a lot better about the 2010 similarities in a low being put in if we could get the dollar on our side, and that means get Greece on our side. A deal on Saturday between the EU and Greece, I think, helps avert a possible financial crisis in China. And I think the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas did a great job. I posted on my website, on my daily video link, a website attachment of a PDF file of two pages of how the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas looks at Greece, looks at the emerging markets. They really did a nice job of tying it together and really solidified the analysis. So we want the emerging markets back on track. We don't want gold making new two-week lows. We don't want crude making new two-week lows. We want the other commodity sectors joining the grains and joining the ag sector, and that really helps us a lot in terms of a long-lasting low.
Yeah, so you're what you're fearful of here is that fundamentally, while we're moving the market higher based on supply-side problems in the Midwest, in particular, even in and the hard red winter wheat growing regions as well, that a problem in Greece could bring the whole thing to a skidding stop.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting about 60 businesses a day shutting down in Greece per some reports from the Financial Times. And, you know, when you have something like that, you really do have to worry about a revolt or anarchy, depending on how the people of Greece, being a communist government now, take a potential bailout package this weekend if it comes to fruition. And that contagion can spread into other countries like Spain and Portugal and into the EU. And simply put, China and Brazil just don't have the horsepower economically to withstand that, in my opinion. They did back in 2011 because they were still relatively strong. Commodity prices were still relatively strong. But this time around, they need all the help they can get. And Japan and the EU are a key to the Chinese withstanding a real possible slowdown economically and bigger unemployment problems down the road. So this is what we're dealing with right now, is these two things. We're dancing on the head of a pin right now.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time. Looking forward to our conversation this afternoon.
Me too. Thanks, Todd.
Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. In Chicago, corn futures are up 7 to 8 cents. Beans still up about 12 cents for the day. Wheat futures are up 25 in the soft red, 20 in the hard red. Bean meal up 7.60. Bean oil down 19 cents. Live cattle futures are 92.5 higher. Feeder cattle are 82.5 lower. And lean hogs are down, or rather up 22.5 cents. We're on our way to a high of just 74 degrees with a 90% chance of rainfall tonight, 60% chance tomorrow, to rain 90% today and 60% tonight. You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana.